Hi, welcome to Creating Cash Flow for March 6th, 2022. Evan, let's talk.
Hi, Christine.
Let's talk. Oh my gosh, huge victory, signed contract.
Yes.
With your client. For your first freelance gig in this new venture that you have. So let me. Evan is now, drumroll please, a cash flow cat, not a kitten anymore. So congratulations. And you do freelance technical writing. And so you were in negotiations in the fall for this big project and they said, yes. When does your first payment hit the bank?
It'll hit by the 15th of this month. I'm waiting. I asked for the check to come in the mail because I'm not sure how to deal with like payment programs and stuff like that quite yet. So I figured that'd be simplest. So I know that they viewed the invoice and they're aware of it. So it's a net 15 since I sent it on the 28th of February. So by the 15th, I should have it.
Congratulations. And this is a multi-thousand dollar contract. So it's a big deal and I'm very proud. So I love your question. It's exactly what I want to talk about. So you asked, how should you approach finding other clients for your technical writing, especially those that you don't have the luxury of being familiar with? You had a connection to this company that you're working with now, but now it's like, okay, how do I find from scratch?
Right.
And this next thing you wrote is such a common path that freelancers choose, which is you wrote, part of me wants to wait and see how things pan out with this client. So I have an idea of how to handle the whole technical writing projects before I seek out new clients, you know, so that you're more comfortable in your whole process as a freelancer. Totally understand. Seems very, very logical of like, yeah, let me just like get this done and then I'll have a better idea. Here's why I don't want you to do that is because I think that you want to pick like a ratio of 80% of the time that you have available for your business, you're spending on this client, and 20% though, on a very consistent basis, you're spending looking for new clients, getting or, you know, preparing whatever you need to prepare and starting to look for new clients. Because you want to have a pipeline as a freelancer. You don't want a job to just end and then be like, oh no, oh no. Then go through that kind of like, mode again. We want this to be like client service and client acquisition, always on parallel, simultaneous tracks. Not necessarily every single week, but you know, month to month, you have to be touching on both providing your service and getting paid for it and finding new clients. Right. Or like in Karen's case, in cash flow, always, you know, working on lead generation, getting more people to know about her, more people into the fold. So how does that sound for you? That's just my advice.
It makes sense. It does sound daunting because I am because it's new. Like it feels daunting because it's new. Also because I know I have on my voiceover side of things, I do want to spend my energy on that as well, since that's also starting to ramp up. So it may not be an exact 80-20 in that case, I think.
No. What I said is for the amount of time that you have for this side business, 80-20, that amount of time. But because you have other things in your life, you're only spending a percentage of your time on this business.
Gotcha.
And of that time, 80-20 in it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think also I totally understand this idea of like, I'll have a better idea of how I want to do my business and how I'm running things, you know, as you go through this project. You will. You totally will. But I really think that each client's going to be a little different and you'll always be making adjustments. So just getting used to the feeling of not having every duck in the exact row, I want you to be able to do your work with your ducks in flow, rather your ducks in a row.
Okay.
Because I think that's you, my guess is you lean toward ducks in a row as a comfort zone. And as a freelancer, I think you need to lean just a little bit more toward ducks in flow. It's like, I've got them. They're just all kind of flowing in the right direction, but they're not perfectly perfect. And I have a perfect handle on exactly what I'm doing.
Right.
Because you can still be productive and you can still be wonderfully effective for your first couple of clients with ducks in flow. And eventually they'll get in a row. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Cool. So that's not to say that the first thing on the list is turning around and starting to like find new clients. I think that the first thing that might be helpful for you is to create a little web page for this business. Because what that does is it forces you to find language and define what you do and the problem that you solve and the pain points and you're really talking to your client. And that will help you feel more confident. Like, okay, I understand my offer. So
right.
I'll feel more comfortable that other people will understand my offer.
Okay. And at this point, it doesn't have to be like a full-blown polished webpage thing.
No.
It just
yeah, I won't. It literally could be one page. You just want to hit the points of like, this is what I do. This is who I help. These are the problems I solve. If you are feeling this way and having these issues, I'm your person. You wouldn't have like your rates up there, but you would say, right. You would maybe say something like, projects start at a minimum of, because having a minimum sort of qualifies people. If they're like, whoa, $5,000, well, then they don't even need to contact you or whatever that number is. And then your contact information. A good example is the website saxonvoice.com, S-A-X-O-N, voice.com. That's Ingrid's website that we built for her. She's a voice teacher. You can just see it's like, you go through that one page. It's very simple, but very effective. And it's all the information you would need to know to decide if you want to hire Ingrid.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit about you. Yeah. Yeah. And you'll know, you may never need to really go bigger or more complex of a website than that. You'll know when you will. You know, as your business grows, you're like, oh, I think I need a little more pages or clients want to know about this or whatever. But for right now, let's just get the facts of the matter up and out there and let us see it so that we can give you feedback of like, yeah, we understand it. It's clear.
Right. Okay.
So I think that would be like phase one. So then the next thing I want you to decide is, okay, considering that I'm only going to spend 20% of my business time, my side business time on this, how long do I want to give myself to create this? A month, 6 weeks, 2 months? You don't have to decide now. I want you to, like, to go look at your calendar. I want you to do it sooner rather than later, but there's also no need to like push yourself because you're just starting this new project and you might decide like for the next 3 weeks, 100% of my time is going to be with this new client. And then after those 3 weeks, I'm going to start turning my attention to building the website.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Meanwhile, should you happen to hear about something or read something or see something or something else falls into your lap where it's like, that looks like a lead, I might be able to help them. Please don't hesitate to pitch yourself even without a website.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like, ooh, I have to hide until, or I can't say anything about myself until you have a client. You know how you can do this work.
Yeah.
Yep. So that would be my guidance on how to proceed.
Okay.
And enjoy yourself. Sense. Enjoy.
Yes, yourself. I will. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm really, really, really proud of you.
Thank you, Christine. Much yes. appreciated.
Yes. Awesome, Evan. All right. And then, by the way, when your website is done, then come back and we'll look at it. But then we'll also talk about like, okay, how do we really then spend 20% of your time actively finding the people? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Regina. Are you ready? Yes, you are. Hello, Regina. Regina is a cash flow cat, and she has a business called Peaceful Pets, Reiki and Crystal Sessions for humans, their pets, and the spaces they share. Love it, love it. Okay, two questions, but then a marvelous victory that I can't wait to read. Regina wrote, I went into an incense shop in the Grove and the owner and I got to talking, which led to him offering to have my postcards for my business right next to his cash register. Okay. So that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hard. I love it. Okay. So your questions, you have a postcard for your business. We had talked about it earlier before. I think it's so cute. I wish everybody could see, but it's branded just like your website, and her website is peacefulpetsla.com. And I think it's great. I would make two adjustments. Instead of a question, it says, is your beloved pet having difficulty adjusting? Instead of a question mark there, I'd put dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. And then instead of a bullet point for each of those to your new home, to a member of your family, those things, put an ellipses, dot, dot, dot in front of each of those.
Oh, great.
So it's like each of those could end the big sentence. Okay. Is your beloved pet? Yeah. So I'd do that. And then on the backside, love the photo, keep everything the same, but I would, where's the website? Oh, down there. Peaceful Pet. I see. I scrolled on my screen. It's there.
Okay.
I would want to see, Reiki and Crystal Sessions for humans, their pets, and the spaces they share. I'd want to see your tagline.
Oh, and under the website. Sure.
Yeah. Why don't you just zhuzh it a little so that you can boost the website up, and then maybe whatever color of plum is on the background of mm-hmm. peacefulpetsla.com, use that color and just underneath peacefulpetsla.com, just put Reiki and Crystal Sessions for humans, their pets, and the spaces they share.
Okay.
Your tagline is such a good tagline that I think every single time you put your website somewhere, the tagline should accompany it.
Okay.
It's such a perfect encapsulation, and the people who are your right people will be like, I get it. I love it. I want to work with her.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a super cute postcard.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love it.
Cool.
And then you created a new webpage for your intuitive pet sitting. Now you have Peaceful Pets LA, and the original website was just basically, I do these Reiki crystal sessions for your energy, but now you have intuitive pet sitting because you were a pet sitter. Now you're bringing it under the umbrella of Peaceful Pets LA. It's so cute. And you can pet sit, and then easily they can add another they can add a crystal session onto it, and you're doing daycare.
I actually made those the Reiki crystal add-on. I say they're mandatory, but maybe I shouldn't, because I kind of don't want to just do regular anymore. Like, I want to be the what? Yeah.
Hold on. Just for everybody listening, it's peacefulpetsla.com/intuitive pet sitting, all one word. And you can view what you can see what I'm looking at. peacefulpetsla.com/intuitive pet sitting/. Okay. Okay. So what you're saying is it's 80, if I have a kitty, $80 per day and night, $25 for each extra kitty, and then $75 for a session.
Yeah, I don't know if I like how I'm presenting that, but I couldn't figure out how to pad the pricing, like pad the Reiki session into the pricing, because I think for Reiki and crystal sessions, I really only need to do one per every 4 to 5 days. So if I'm booked pet sitting somebody over a weekend, it would just be one session. If I'm booked for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, then it would be, you know, like three sessions. So I don't really know how to
do
that. So I just kind of mocked this up and was like, I'm just going to go with this first draft and talk about this with Chris, somebody who knows something named Christine.
Yeah, because it's a little confusing.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how to do it.
I think part of what's confusing is the blue line. You have the rates in pink, a blue line, and then the $75 Reiki crystal session in a darker color.
Yeah.
So it all seems very like it's separate.
Okay.
So I think instead of the pink, because the pink's a little hard to read, and the plum is a bit easier.
Okay.
I would say so what you're telling me is if I just hire you for one day, night for one cat, you're going to do a Reiki session.
I would like to. Yeah. I don't want to just be a normal pet sitter anymore.
Right. Right. So
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. So I would say, each week each engagement with your each time you hire me for pet sitting, I do a Reiki session with your pet once every 7 days. So if you hire me for a night, it'll be a night and a Reiki session. If you hire me for 2 weeks, it'll be 14 days of pet sitting and mm-hmm. two Reiki sessions. Mm-hmm. Also, if you hire me for 9 days, it's 9 days of pet sitting and two Reiki sessions.
Mm.
Correct? every time the calendar turns goes after 7 days, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So days 1 through 7, Reiki session. Days 8 through 14, even if it's only 8, there's a Reiki session.
I know that's it's clunky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a parallel thing, because I'm sure you're going to get pushback where people are like, well, it's 8 days. Like, can you just do one session?
Right. Maybe do I just need to hike up the pad, the regular pet sitting price, so that it sort of works out to
allowing you to do a session?
I was trying to do the math on that, like breaking down, like, okay, if I say a session is $75 for a pet, one pet, I could divide that by.
Right. Yeah. So if you divide, if you technically, yes, this, you're on the right track. So technically, you're basically saying, I'm going to do Reiki and I want to get $75 per week for Reiki. So that would be seven. That'd be like $11 a day. So what if you just padded your pet sitting up to $92 a day?
For a cat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you're at least getting, well, it doesn't quite work, because if they only hire you for 3 days, and you want to do a Reiki session.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm...
I think you're not going to be able to do this. It's going to be a lot of rigmarole and people will be like, she's too confusing.
Okay.
So I think it has to be with each engagement, there's a Reiki session. And that's it.
Okay.
So you might then, if someone's like, can you watch them for 3 weeks? You can go, yeah. And you know what? I'd love to do a second session during that time. Would you be okay with that? I find that it really helps the pets, and kind of let it be their choice after that.
Okay.
So what you would do then is night one is $155. And then each night after that is $80.
Okay.
Because night one includes a Reiki session.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then you can decide, like, if I'm a regular customer, if you just knock out the, if you don't want to do the Reiki session and it's just $80. But you can certainly make it your policy that every single time you engage with me, whether it's for 1 day, 3 days, 8 days, every time you hire me, the first day is this much because I am going to give your pets a Reiki session.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's what you want to do, I have no problem with that whatsoever. It sets you apart from the pack. Right people are going to want to hire you for that and for the energy that you bring to your house, to their house. But I think for just to make it really easy and seamless, that's the structure.
Okay.
It's $155 for the first day. Then it drops down to $80 per day, $25 extra per day. Per kitty, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Then you need to write that because it just says $25 for each extra kitty.
Oh.
Just say $25 per day for each extra kitty.
Okay.
And I would say each additional kitty.
Additional, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then what you do, then you can have the pricing there in the pink, exactly as we just said. And then just put the Reiki session in on one, add another one of those little bullet points to that list. Put in right above where it says Reiki and Crystal post session review, right above that, put Reiki and Crystal session.
Okay.
So I get feedings and playtimes and photos and security and a Reiki session and a Reiki post-session review.
Okay.
All of that's included. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And do that with all four of those options.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And are you feel good about your prices? I mean, they seemed good.
I don't know. I'm really kind of in a space this week where, I don't know, I think because I booked a couple acting jobs and I felt very in alignment in the middle of February.
Yes.
I do feel that when I'm doing like my Reiki and crystal sessions, but I'm not really feeling super in alignment with the pet sitting part anymore.
Yeah. And so
I'm still grateful for it right now, you know, until mm-hmm. everything else picks up, but yeah, I know that doesn't answer the price question, but maybe
price would be better. Because you have pet care overnights, you have daycare, and you have walks. Do you want to do all three, or do you just want to offer one or two of these three?
Yeah, that's...
Do you even want to walk anymore?
You know, what... With my regular client that I walk them once a week and then I do the Reiki crystal session. And so like that's fine. Once a week is fine. Mm-hmm. So maybe that could be the thing I offer. Like, but then I don't know. It's not going to be, it would be a service that again, somebody would be wanting the energy session part. More primarily. So then why do it? Why offer the walk?
Here's what I think. I think this page should be not one I can get to from your regular navigation on your website. I think this should be a private menu.
Yes. No, it's, you can't get to this.
Yeah. Good. But I think it should just be a private menu that you don't even mention.
Right.
That it's, you just wait for your Reiki and crystal clients to go, oh, you know what? Do you ever walk pets?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you think you could stay overnight with our cat? Like, let them ask you for this stuff.
Right.
And then you can go, occasionally, you don't even have to show them this page. You could do it on a case by case basis and set your rates on a, how much do I want to get for this? Like, where do you live? And you can just say to him, I'd be happy to, you know, do a walk or spend four nights with your pet for this much. And then they can say yes or no.
Right.
But then you're not held to the price. You're not, you know, I don't necessarily think that you need to talk about all of that. I would just do it if you felt like doing it.
Okay.
And then if you don't feel like doing it or you don't need to do it, don't do it.
How's so scrap this page.
No, just keep it, but just keep it for yourself almost.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like, if someone asked you about pet sitting their pups, you could just literally take a screenshot of the little portion that says kitties or I mean pups. And email that to them.
Okay.
And change the rates. Like
the rates should be higher than my sessions on the Peaceful Pets website, right?
It's one of those things. This is why I say I wouldn't even in your head fixed rates. Okay. I would do this on a case by case basis. What can this person pay? How far away are they? Is this going to be a pain in the ass?
Right.
I want to do this? Yeah, I want to. I want some extra cash over the next 4 days. Great. Then make an offer that you think they'll accept. not a low ball, but just one, you know. And then if someone asks you to pet sit and you're not in the mood, or you don't like them or their pets, or you're just busy with other stuff, then you just say, oh, you know what? My calendar can't accommodate that right now.
Right.
How does that feel?
Yeah, that feels good.
Let's just, since this isn't the stuff you're super excited about, let's just see who asks you about it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Kate, is your hand up because you have something you wanted to contribute to this?
I did, but I think you've covered it all really well. And especially if you're back burnering, you know, I had a little thing like it says 2 to 3 photos or video. And I was going to say specify just one video, you know, stuff like that. But if it's not, if it's back burner, it's no longer important. I can take my hand down.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
So your second question was, you had put out some feelers out to professional organizers and you got an email back from somebody who was like, hey, this is so great. We'd love to have you speak at our group sometime on Zoom if that would be of interest. Mel and Shannon can reach out more about the opportunity. So she then passed you along. Mm-hmm. And then Melinda, who I guess is a coordinator, was like, hey, I'm the co-head for the Napo Holistic whatever. I don't even know that existed. And would love to talk to you more. Please contact me directly so we can set. And you were like, what do they want? Do they want me to join a group? What's happening here? To me, reading these emails, they just want you to come and do a talk.
Okay. That's what the first one seemed like, but then the other one, thank you.
You're not an organizer.
No.
They don't want you in their group. But
what's that holistic thing?
I think they have like a little sub group of people who are into holistic stuff combined with organization. You know, maybe the organization and space clearing where they sage and stuff. I don't know. This is definitely a new little side thing. I don't know what SIG means. The Napo Holistic SIG, something group. I don't know. But no, I don't think they're asking you to join now.
Okay.
There are times when you send out feelers. This has happened to me. Where they're like, oh, sure, yeah, if you want to pay this or if you want to join this. And then you just go, oh, yeah, no. Thanks, though. Yeah. But if it's just, so you need to contact Melinda and just see, like, what do you got in mind? And then you can have another speaking engagement.
Yeah.
By yourself. Just featuring you all by sorry, things are working for you. That's so exciting. I had a sneaking suspicion that you and organizers, this would be good. So this
is the best response I've gotten.
Yeah, they seem like your people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So follow up.
Okay.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sarah. Good job, Regina. So happy. Hi, Sarah.
Hey.
Can
I give Regina a compliment really quickly? Please. I love your business. It's so awesome. That's all.
Thank you.
I think it's really neat. I just think it's so cool.
Thanks, Sarah. And Christine helped pull it out of my brain and heart. So
yeah, I'm like, so, well, it's funny because I just started the cash flow course and I've seen you go through the talk with Christine. I think this is my second session I think, gosh, this is my number two. And last time anyway, it's just so great to see. I do Reiki, like not professional. I'm like level one, but I just do it on myself, basically. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I just think it's really cool to watch everybody do these really interesting businesses, and I'm really excited. So anyway, cool business.
Thank you. Yours sounds awesome too.
Thank you.
Yes. Sarah, Cashflow Kitten.
Yes.
She's holding her first talk about stocks in 2 weeks, and she got her first payment today from someone who signed up. Woo-hoo! Money, 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 money.
Thank you.
So very exciting. Okay, so for the talk, you had a full presentation, but as you mentioned in the last cash flow session, I mentioned that you should let people ask questions throughout the session instead of waiting till the end. Yeah. What I actually said, don't let Q&A be the very last thing you do. You can either let people ask questions all along, or you can have a Q&A section. I just don't want that Q&A section to be the last thing.
Okay. That was my question. Cause I think going back through the presentation, I gave way too much information just because I'm so excited about it. I also want to make sure everybody's walking along with me. I don't want them to get freaked out, because I'm realizing too, that everybody's scared about it. And I just want to make sure I'm bringing them along with me and not just talking about interest rates and then they die.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about interest rates, but I just want to make sure that they end the session wanting to invest right then and there. I want them to get $50 and put it in and open up a Fidelity account and go buy some Google or something.
Mm-hmm. That's a great end result that you want to get to.
Yeah.
So then when you look back over the information, what's the information that they just need to know in order to feel comfortable to do that?
Okay.
Versus understanding the world of stocks. How little do you need to know and to understand along the way? And then because of the subject matter, I would plan out check-ins. You teach a little thing and you go, okay, checking. Everyone's still breathing. Anyone feeling like they want to run from the room? Okay. Anybody lost? It's almost like I want you to picture you're in a Girl Scout troop and you're leading this little group of, 7-year-olds on this little hike. You'd stop every once in a while and go, okay, guys, anybody need a sip of water? Anybody tired? You just have to make sure the whole group is kind of coming along.
Okay. All right. That's really helpful.
And what I would do for you. Okay. Did you read the section in cash flow? There's a chapter titled speaking.
Yes. I read it last week. Yes.
Okay. So that outlines why I say don't end with the Q&A. But here's what I would do if I were in your shoes. I would do a little something at the very beginning. I'd say, okay, everybody, I want you to write down on a piece of paper from a level 1 to 10, how ready are you to just buy $50 worth of a stock right now? And people will be then they have to hold up their paper 4, 3, I feel like a 5. Okay. And then at the end of your talk, I would do the same thing. Okay, everybody, write down on a piece of paper, where are you at? And if you see somebody who's 4, then you'd be do you have a question? Because I want everyone to be at a 8.5 or higher.
I want everybody to be at a 10.
Well, 8.5 and higher is nicely encouraging for those people who, yeah, you don't want to shame anybody for being in the rear of the line.
Oh my God. No, I do not.
I know. I'm just joking.
Really important. Yeah.
But you see how that's
horrible.
The reason I'm suggesting this, though, the purpose of this is you always want to end a speaking engagement when you can with something that makes them feel good about them, that they spent the time and like, oh yeah, my mindset has shifted a little bit. My fear level has dropped. My confusion level has dropped a little bit. And maybe you say at the beginning, okay, I want you to write the number on a scale from 1 to 10 of how like confident and gung-ho you are right now about like spending this much money on a stock. And underneath your number, I want you to write, is that number because of fear or because of confusion? Mm. That's an interesting thing too. And then at the end, you have them do the same thing. And then you are able to see, ooh, did the confusion stuff go away? Or is there, you know, if someone holds up and they're like, I'm a 6 and with come from confusion, you go, do you have any questions? Like, and the other thing, I think actually the biggest thing that is going to be the biggest challenge for you, it's not bad. It's just the thing you're going to have to learn how to get better and better at, is with a complex subject like this, that you are distilling down and leading people only through phase one of it. You're going to get a lot, my guess is, you're going to get some questions that are outside the realm of what you're actually talking about today. Oh, but what about this? But I heard this, but I've always thought this. And your job is to corral the crowd and keep you all focused and going on the same path. And you can say like, that's a really astute question, or that's a really good question. That would be something that you only need to think about or address in phase two of learning about stocks. We're in phase one right now. So I'll probably do future workshops maybe, but that would be something covered then, because you don't really need to know about that now. Or you might have a Q&A person who really wants to go in the weeds, and you're going to have to know when to kind of cut that off.
I know that because I love getting into the weeds, and I have to be really careful about that, because I can like just talk for hours.
And you can say, oh my gosh, I love getting in the weeds. I love how your brain is working and how you want to drill down. That is my brain. We can't do that in this forum. Okay. We could certainly have a private and like go there. You see? So that's just a way now, without even selling, you've just mentioned that you do privates.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I think I have to like be ready to say, because I am so glad you brought this up. This was like a question I didn't even know I was asking. You're totally, yeah, because I know that, hold on, I have to like hide myself. That is so distracting. I was thinking about it today. I was sort of rehearsing in my head certain sections, and I just was like, yeah, people are going to be asking me probably trading questions. I'm definitely not answering any trading questions, because this is an investing course, right, or a talk. Yeah. But I was thinking like I can do like a private session with them or something and talk more, or do it another talk or something like. So I want to be able to have like a script ready for that too, when that, if that comes up. And
yeah. And it's not even, I mean, you can definitely like write out some notes and have like a little, this is how I'm going to say it. That's totally fine. But what will help you handle those moments is your energy is the leadership energy. Everyone attending this is counting on you.
Yeah.
Lead them through this workshop. Without leadership, you're not going to get a group of 7-year-old girls from point A to point B, like all in one piece, without one wandering off, you know, because she's all a butterfly. So your job is to lead, and people will actually be grateful that you're keeping everybody on track and you're doing this thing in the amount of time you promised it would take. And for that one person who's like itching to ask you a million questions and go down the rabbit hole, everybody else is sitting there going, this is not what I paid for. And I don't even know what they're talking about. And when is she going to get back on track? So your job, keep people on track, just kind of like in the mindset calls. Every once in a while, someone wants to talk strategy. And it's like, I can talk that. I love talking that, but that's not what we're here for. So I've got to kind of keep it.
Yeah, I've seen you do that. And you'll be like, that's actually a cash flow conversation. And you can like go take that course. And it's like so easy when you say that, you know, and it helps everybody focus. I mean, because somebody will ask that question, I'll be like, oh, that's a good question. But then like, you're like, no, we're here for this. I'm like, oh, right. Okay.
And it's not unkind.
No, yeah.
But
yeah.
See, I think sometimes workshop leaders or speakers, what they're thinking is, oh, this person asked a question and I don't want them to feel bad. And it's like, no, you need to serve the group and make sure everybody feels good that we're staying on track rather than that one person maybe feeling like bent out of shape. Can't please everybody, but you want to keep everyone moving forward.
Right. Right.
And this is only something you learn through doing it over and over. So just drop all ideas of you're going to do this perfectly. I think you're going to do it well. Like, I think this is going to be even better than you expect it to be. I think you're going to do a great job, but you do not have to do a perfect job.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And anything that you're like, oh, that didn't go well, or oh, I missed that. Yeah, that's called learning, you know? And trust me, I have my whole experience littered. My whole road has been paved with like, ooh, that I'll do that differently next time.
Yeah. That's a good reminder. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Okay, so you're not a fraud.
I know.
You know you're not a fraud. Your lizard brain's telling you you're a little bit of a fraud here.
Yeah. It comes up with everything. Like when I was asking for the raise at my other job, like I'm a fraud. I don't deserve this. And so I just want to really get out of that because it's like really holds me back, you know?
Here's my suggestion. This is not when you have this kind of recurring theme that keeps coming up. It's not about like replacing it with a better feeling thought, or it's not about getting rid of it because it keeps coming back. What I would recommend is you get quiet, sit down for like 10 minutes and invite that little lizard or however you picture it to come sit next to you on the couch and be like, hello. You keep coming out and saying that I'm a fraud. What's your message for me in that? Like explain a little bit more. Tell me a little bit more. Okay. What are you afraid of? And what are you trying to get? Is there something you'd like to tell me about that? And see what it has to say to you. Instead of sometimes being afraid of this message, you're a fraud, or thinking like, oh, I got to squelch that and turn it into a happy thought. It's like, I think emotions and these little themes, they have a message for us. And sometimes if you just invite them to deliver their message, you can kind of see what's underneath that. And then if they're scared, like, well, I don't want you to like feel bad if you mess up or if it doesn't go well. If the message is based in fear, you can reassure them like, oh, I've got this. I'm going to be okay. I might be disappointed if it doesn't go well, but I'm grown now because this is really your inner child.
Right, right.
Who's freaking out. So talk to him. Go, what's the deal? What are you so like? Yeah. And that is a way to kind of calm them down.
Yeah.
And then they'll go away for a while, but they'll come back, probably come back. And you're like, oh, here we are. We're freaking out again. Okay. What's going on now? I heard you last time, but also sometimes I think it keeps coming back because it thinks you're not hearing it. You keep batting in. Wait, I'm not a fraud. I'm going to go to an affirmation to make sure that I can drown you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just something there, but I love that you have the awareness of that's not you. You're not a fraud, but there is a piece of you that has some energy around that concept.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And what people will think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And if it really is a what people will think, then I think it's about you finding a way to make peace with the fact that some people will think that.
Right. 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 Yeah.
And then seeing, you know, if you die. It's always a good test.
Yeah, it is. It is a good test. But yeah.
Another thing for you to do after this workshop is over.
Yeah.
Is sit with it and go, did I feel like a fraud during any of that? Like, what was the feedback I got from people? Was there any indicators? So that you can actually be like, no, there wasn't. That was a legit experience where no one there gave me any kind of feedback. Like, who am I to do this? And you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then you've got to believe that. If that's what the data shows, you have to start believing the data.
Yeah.
You can still have emotions around it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, just start believing the data.
Yeah. Yeah.
My life coach, that was one of an early piece of advice she gave me. She's like, look, I love her. She's just like, look, there is a pattern in your life. When are you going to start trusting this pattern? It's a great pattern. It's gone on for a long time. I don't think it's going to change much. When are you just, how many more times do you have to see the pattern repeat itself before you just believe it and trust it? You know, I was like, oh, all right. It wasn't that I wasn't seeing the evidence. I just wasn't trusting the evidence.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah.
And she's like, it's just a decision. It's just a decision to start trusting it.
Right.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm so excited that you're doing this.
Thank you. And thank you so much. I just so appreciated your support. That was so kind of you. And I'm really excited.
Yes, Lisa,
I got and two I had more a little... signups.
You what?
I got two more signups after that. Yes. So thank you.
Oh, that's so fantastic. I love that. Yeah. Lisa and I had a little celebration over you. So your ears might have been burning earlier today.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Karen, do you have anything?
You know what I real? Hi, everybody. You know what I realize is when you mentioned no strategy calls, I think all of my questions have been about strategy. And that's all I'm thinking about now.
No, I meant so on.
No,
I was talking about the abundance bound monthly mindset calls.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's just about mindset, but people come on and they're like, what should I do about this? I'm like, oh
okay.
Talk about that. No, this is strategy all day, every day.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
Oh yeah. Love this. Love this.
Okay.
Yes.
I've been revenue modeling and I'm just, you know, I know an ecosystem is a good thing to have. I feel like I'm still evolving and so new and building that it's so, still experimenting. With what I can do and trying to increase the revenue, really.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at ways to utilize what I have. I have assets now because I've recorded videos, teaching videos. So I'll have six videos that are standalone with worksheets. And So what I was thinking about doing with those assets is make a limiter for people signing up for the spring session, where they would get all the videos if they sign up before X date. They get access to the videos from the previous session.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the worksheets, because I just have those. And then, but that would be like a limited time bonus.
Like an early bird bonus, yeah.
Early bird bonus. And then I was also thinking about, I know I was ruling this out before, but I was just looking at a way of doing a lower cost and lower impact thing with those videos, where I would just have people, it would be a 6-week thing, the 6 videos people could look at their own pace. I would do a whole new introductory video for this group, and it would be all of the winter session, which is I call departure. They would do all those, and I would just meet in the 6-week window. I would meet for 2 90-minute sessions,
mm-hmm.
where we do prompts and they would read for feedback, and then they would come to 2 of my writer's lounges, which are happening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm still, not everyone's coming to those anyway, so I think I can mix people in there. It's mm-hmm. more casual. So they'd get 4, those are an hour each. So they'd get those 2 hours and then 2 90-minute sessions,
mm-hmm.
and all the videos, all the worksheets and recordings of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be a lot of, you know, all the admin I'd have to do for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just 2 additional, you know, 1 additional 90-minute session a month for me to host.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking at what would that look like. And I know that the people who would do that wouldn't necessarily be graduating to something more,
mm-hmm.
but it would just be a way to utilize what I have,
mm-hmm.
and have other people come in.
Would this be a group that's like starting at the same time, or could people just start whenever they wanted, or?
It would start at the same time as what I was picturing.
Oh, as your spring?
It would be, I still have my spring, and I have, right. I'm going to have 1 or 2 spots open for that on the okay. Saturday.
Okay.
And so everyone else is continuing.
Great.
And that's so I'll have a great, total of, Karen. Yes, that's good. I'll have 6. I want to have 6 people in that, because that's a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
And so I just want to, there's 1 or 2 people are leaving, and I want to bring people in to fill those spots.
Okay. And in this little thing,
mm-hmm.
is there a limit to how many people you would want in
No,
that?
I wouldn't limit that.
Okay. Yeah. So you would be promoting both at the same time, sort of like?
No, I would fill these 2 spots
first. The spring spots first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because there.
That's the part I'm not sure about.
Well, I'm wondering if you can just be like, we're entering our spring quarter or our spring semester. And mm-hmm. There's 2 options of how to work with me. There's the blah, blah, blah option, which is the big group. There's 2 seats left. If that's not your cup of tea, you can choose this option. So it's almost like there's 2 options. Do I want
it would be completely different material. The spring is all new spring material.
Okay.
And then the departure one is
okay.
everything. So it's all different teaching. So okay. it's not a choice of 2. It's
got it. So you're more like, hey, everybody who wants to get on board for spring, And then a separate email saying, hey, did you miss the winter session? Well, you can get it now in miniature form. Here's how it works. Sure. And then you would do that again, like enroll the fall and then sell spring.
Right. It would be staggered like that if it works.
Try it. See if it works. Because I totally understand, like, I need money. I got this stuff. It's easy to kind of just add it into my calendar. It's not too taxing. And maybe I have people already existing in my list for whom this would be a better financial fit. Look, I'm never going to stand in the way of someone bringing in cash. There have been things I've done throughout my thing of like, mama's got to pay for that thing. So what can I sell? Yeah. So try it. See if you like it, see how people respond, see if you feel it works, see if you feel like it cannibalizes anything else in your business. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
So then when you get back around to doing the winter again, then publicize it as like, you can do this version or this version. Or do you think you'd always be?
I don't know if I would continue to, I mean, I might finish out this, if this works and people want to do that, I would finish it out, but I don't know. I think people would just aim for the lower cost thing and not even compute that, oh, I'm getting so many less hours. And, you know, I think they would grab the cheaper thing. And I, so I didn't want to, I didn't want them to be like a choice of either or.
Yeah.
I wanted them to be two separate entities.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do if, you know, do this one, if it works, do it again. And then if keep doing it, if it, if you, you feel like it works for you. Yeah. Just try it. Try it.
Okay. Thank you. And the other thing I wanted quick feedback on is for this group that's continuing, I had been discounting my private sessions for them by 25%. And I just looked and saw that each person with the discount average, it averaged that each person purchased 1 hour of coaching at the discount. And so I don't, I would rather them purchase more coaching. And I don't, I can't tell if the discount is a big incentive for them to do the coaching and if it's something that I should consider not offering a discount on the coaching or always do that for them because they're kind of grandfathered in.
So is your question, are you not sure if you should offer a discount to the new people coming in and then keep your older clients at the same rate that they're used to?
No, I was thinking about just not having the discount going forward.
Yeah, what if you just didn't have the discount going forward? What's the difference between what you, what's your regular price?
It's 160 and then it's 120 with it 25% off.
I don't think you should be coaching for less than 160 privately, Karen.
Yeah, that was feeling
I just
not
don't,
right.
Yeah, it's yeah. I would just say I'm available at this rate for private. If someone's going to, I mean, the price differential is not enough for someone to be like, oh, great. Now's my chance to work with her privately because it's so steeply discounted, like $90 an hour. 160 to 120. If someone wants an hour with you, they'll pay you 120. They'll also pay you 160.
Okay.
They've decided they really want you. And these people are the people primed to really want you. They're already working with you. Why wouldn't they want you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that would feel, I haven't been feeling good about that. So
what, we don't have to go here because you have not requested to go here. I'm just wondering, like, do you have a story around the fact that writers don't have money and writers can't pay and writers just from, don't
it's want, their stories, not mine.
Right. But how are you going to cultivate a new story with the people? I understand that that's like the general story. There are general stories with actors as well. They're always on to the next thing. Like they'll buy from you, but then they want to go get the next magic bullet, like herding cats a little bit. And writers are always like, oh, I don't have any money and I'm not earning anything from my writing. And how do I invest and take it seriously? So I get that. You're not wrong. That is their story. But how do you cultivate a different story so you're attracting people who are more like, this is where I want to put my money?
I think the people, they're writers because they're writing, but they have not made money from their writing probably at all. So mm-hmm. it's kind of different from the actors. I really don't know if I could compare them to actors who are actually working as actors and earning money.
The difference between actors and writers, like not screenwriters, but actors put so much more money into their career before they make a dime. Usually they're cultivated and they just know they have to do that. I mean, pictures alone are like $1,000 when you're all said and done with one set of headshots. So you're just, the acknowledgement of going into that career is just like, oh, I'm going to have to like pay a lot of money before, or invest a lot of money before I start to possibly see a return. It's not the case with everybody, but yeah, that's why a lot of people sell things to actors and treat them like little ATM machines, because they are cultivated to invest in their career. Writers are not, because writing is this thing that people don't really understand. I mean, the world at large, like, I don't know, get a pen and a piece of paper and like write. Like, what's the barrier between you and publishing something? The barrier is all up here. It's almost like you're saying to writers, yes, I know that you don't need to pay to write. You've been writing. The investment is around, or are you willing to get over the blocks, are you willing to make the mental shifts that are going to allow you to go to the next level? It's not the writing, it's the being a writer. Believing in it, putting it out there, facing rejection. That's the stuff they need to invest in, not necessarily the writing of it. So the money is in the people who actually want to do something with their writing. Someone who just wants to write, kind of keep it on the down low and maybe share it with their family. They're not. The people who want something that they don't have yet, that's where they'll put their money on the line. When you come along and go, hey, how are you feeling about this? Well, you know, how many years has it been since you said you wanted to do this thing and get it out into the world? How about we get it out into the world or out of your head? That's the first place people will invest in when they haven't been able to get it out of their head yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next place I think writers will invest in is when they want to get it out into the world and they know they're hesitating. But when they're just kind of like, ooh, they're deep in like chapter 12 of their memoir, I don't think they're super incentivized yet to give chunks of money towards their career. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think from what I'm listening to, I'm thinking about how the people I'm hearing that story from, yes, probably don't see a clear path to it panning out because of their own knowing of how much they're willing to invest in it, because you do have to go away and write, mm-hmm. you know, when you're not in the workshop or doing things. So, and they also blame their lack of funds just in general. So, but I do have plenty of people who have jobs that they're doing and then they're writing on the side because they've always wanted to.
Right.
And they want to get help getting it done.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I think that does feel better to me, the not discounting the coaching. I think I'll make that shift.
Yeah. But for everybody listening, pulling back from Karen's business, the reason this is an important thing that we're talking about now is when you have a clientele that you want to serve, like writers, there's a whole spectrum of writers. But if you want to make money coaching writers or anyone, you have to look for where are the people, not just people who have the money, but people who are ready and need and want to invest in their career, want to get over a pain point. They want to get over that pain point more than they want to hold on to their money. And so you want to find the type of writer where they're at on the inflection points of investment in their career, which is very different than just, I help writers write. Because then you can get a lot of writers who can't pay you much to help them. But you want to find the inflection points and talk to those inflection points and those people. And it takes you, Stacey Baiman has a podcast, Make Money as a Life Coach. But she's a master of sales teaching sales. And one of the things she really hammers on is you have to believe in your offer and then you have to believe in your clients. And you have to, well, you don't have to, but it helps if you want to make money to really stand for the fact that, like, yes, an investment is necessary. This will help you. This pain that you're feeling doesn't have to be there. I want you to express yourself as a writer and feel yourself as a writer and really be a writer and get your stories out, because that's what you're going to think about on your deathbed. Like, that's what you're really going to, it's going to resonate with you, whether you did it or not. Those are going to be some of your bigger regrets. And I don't want you to have those because they're unnecessary to have those. I love writers, but I'm here to serve the writers who are ready. Like, being very, very strong that the prices you're charging for whatever you're offering are fair, because you know you can get them where they want to go and you know you can help them break through these things that are holding them back, like that kind of stuff. But if you're not sold and you're attracting a lot of writers who don't have the money, never believe people's money stories either. Well, I don't have the money. That's because they have stories about what's worthy and not worthy to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a story that the investment in their writing isn't necessary or isn't, it's not worth it. Or maybe they hear their parents going, oh, that's a silly occupation. Why do you do that? Who knows? But, where was I going with that? But you have to believe that there's people out there who will pay. I think there are.
Oh, I believe that. Yes. And I am definitely not interested in that story as much.
Good.
I thought part of that was part of the job, is to have to listen to that story. But now I see, I'm starting to get more experience and experiential evidence that no, people are ready to pay and ready to do the work. And that's much more fun.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good, good, good. Okay. Yes. People can tell you that story as a coach. And if you are a coach, they will tell you that story. You do not have to accommodate the story. That's not your job, but it's okay for them to have it. It's like, oh, okay. You know, we can either work on that together, or you can, you know, when you get yourself ready, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, good. Great. So this will be interesting. So let me know how this works.
Okay, great. Thank you so thank much.
Thank you for letting me take you down that thank road. Thank
you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Does anybody else have questions? I have something from someone who, a new member who's not here, that I'm going to address, but only after everyone is good for the sesh. Okay. So we have a new member, Anu, I'm not sure. And she will be listening to this recording. So she is a cash flow tiger. And her business is as an actress, playwright, cultural worker. She gets commissioned. She tours solo shows, acts, directs, devises theater, facilitates, teaches, and applies theater methods to non-arts settings. Her work is at the intersection of performance, political education, and social movement building, and community organizing. And she's growing her business to include hosting a podcast on social movements and applying arts-based methods to non-arts civic engagement and community-led goals, primarily right now on the question of how to build equitable processes where community groups are engaged as leaders in conversation with local government in decision-making and funding. So she's where art meets action. And she has a couple of questions. The good news, the victories that I'm delighted she's experiencing, is she just landed a big contract opportunity to do a project. And she wrote a grant and got her grant funded for a web series that she wants to start producing by June, or starting in June. So high five. Now, she wrote, I learned how to write a particular type of proposal for this new contract. I didn't know how to do it before I wrote it, but I asked for help. I got support. I did the research. I figured it out. And that was about 96 hours of labor. Yes, indeed. My sister used to write, she was employed as a grant writer. And I've also helped a theater write a grant. Good Lord. It's a lot of work. She is learning that leadership means building a structure and facilitating a process that can engage others to contribute within their capacity, that make use of their strengths while honestly assessing what other resources are needed to fill in the gaps. So she's stepping up from doing the work herself to now with this new project, oh, I've got to get team members and put them in place and then oversee how they're working and help them fill in the gaps, which is a completely different kind of mindset shift into how you're working and rebuilding really, really big a really, really big set of new business muscles. So that's super exciting. Okay, the question. She is asking me, okay, let's see, where should I start? So she's asking me about building a team for this project. She has to figure out what the fee is for that, because the company is like, great, we'll pay a fee to help you put together this team. How much do you need? And she has a single member LLC right now. She's wondering if she should do an S Corp. In addition, she needs to hire her first part-time employee probably 1 to 3 employees total, plus 1 to 2 contractors. She's currently talking with an employment lawyer who's agreed to advise her and schedule a meeting with a tax accountant this week. That's terrific. I'm glad you're getting that support. And I'm glad you went to Miata's management Q&A. And I know talked about this stuff as well. I want to set up the appropriate systems. I want to make sure I understand how much labor is involved and a budget, enough funds for all the necessary business operations, workers' comp, liability, payroll, et cetera, as well as my own time, in addition to paying people fairly. So that's setting up the project. And then how to manage the project itself, implementing. And then she asked, what were the key lessons I learned when I hired my first employee, especially in consideration of the new AB5 law, which affects independent contractors? Let me take this chunk first, because I have nothing to contribute on any of that, because I have never done sort of contract work in this, where this, there was this much like legal ducks that I needed to put in the row. I have never hired an employee. I have hired independent contractors at various times. And I basically believe I'm fulfilling all of the requirements for an independent contractor role, in that I give them information about what I want them to do. They can do it on their own time, using their own judgment, even though I provide them with frameworks and structures. So I think I'm being pretty kosher with that, but I've never put anybody on a payroll, so I don't know anything about that. And as far as budgeting, this might be something we can talk about. I would need you here, though, to ask you some questions, but I actually don't think I'm the best source for this part of the question. I think I'm a better source for the second part of the question, though. So that's good news. So then you are saying, all right, I want to get all of these systems set up and delegate the work so that I continue my plan, my personal plan, to produce a short web series by June. Now, what I'd want to ask you here is, are you saying you want to get this project set up so that starting in June, you could do the web series? Or are you saying, I really want to get all this stuff set up really super quickly so I can have the web series done by June? I wasn't 100% clear on the timeline for this. So you have the job and setting up the team and overseeing that contract. You have your web series, and then you say you also need to move out of your apartment. And so what we want to look at, and what I think I can really help you is with, the organization of the timeline for these three huge projects that you're doing in what sounds like between now and June-ish. So that is something we can talk about. I just can't talk about it without asking you a bunch of questions to dig in a little bit deeper. There's more information I need to know before I can give any guidance. I can help you with timeline and prioritization and organization. I can also talk about employees and sort of how to set up feedback loops and set up from the very beginning a constructive and clean and kind, but yet clear way to speak to them and sort of lay down, this is how I want this to flow, and these are my expectations, and this is how we're going to communicate, and this is how we're going to track projects. So I can certainly help with maybe some things to look for when you're hiring people, and then how to kind of communicate with them from the beginning to avoid a lot of miscommunication. So that can be an area that we can talk about as well. That's more of my area of strength. And I'm very sorry to hear about your apartment. That sucks. But I trust that your next place is out there for you. So yeah, I'm super excited to talk about all this stuff, but in a nutshell, we'll need to talk. Okay. So I hope that helps with that. And I hope to see you soon. And I think that is it for today. So thanks, everybody. See you on Monday if you want to come next week. All right.
Thank you, Christine. Have a good week.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.